Good afternoon, and welcome to Everybody, the podcast which shares stories that highlight people in life that make the world an interesting place, which ultimately ties us all together in unique and wonderful ways. And who am I, you might ask? I would be the head-wrapped socialite, wife, mom, micro-influencer in the fashion and etiquette world. But on this podcast, I will be introducing you to some people who I've had the opportunity to meet along my journey, who have helped enrich me and my life in beautiful ways, and who I hope will do the same in yours.
Hello.
Hello.
Cool. What's going on?
Hi, Trina. Is this thing one? With this right.
You are doing this right.
Gosh, I'm so happy that we finally made it here.
I am on the road. I could see the soccer field from where I am. So if I get excited and I start screaming, just overlook that part.
Okay.
Just joking.
Okay. I love it. Yeah, no, I'm excited to chat with you.
3, 2, 1. I first met today's guest within the fashion modeling sphere. There was something electric when he walked into the room, what I like to call the magic of the moment. I am so excited to share with you and welcome to today's episode a very talented fashion visionary and model, Coupe DeVille.
I have found that core thing that brings out the best in me. And I have continued to celebrate and drive everything I do. Because, you know, us as humans, we're not always able to, play the part we want. Right. So it's easier to incorporate your expression, incorporate your creed into everything you do, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of hate coming your way, regardless of things that are frustrating. Mm-hmm. And I love myself endlessly. I had to push that to the people around me, energy into everything I do. Through that, I've been able to discover this beautiful person underneath it all. And put my modeling, push that into my styling, my art, how I portray myself. Because I have a message of love and spread a message of creativity. At the end of the day, you can really only just be yourself. And nobody else is going to stop you besides you.
Just a reminder that we need not have the perfect environment to step into an enlightened state of being. And in fact, you need not have the perfect teacher. You need that it's within us, and it's inherent in the essence of the foundation of who we are that we go on this journey. I really love how a minute ago you said certain relationships will unlock, will be the key to unlock whatever evolution you're ready for, and to really trust into that space, to trust into life, to trust into the timing of your life.
Okay, so now that we figured out it was Def Leppard. Okay. So I know the listeners would want to know, because I want to know, 90s rap, what would be your go-to song? You know, I got to go way back, because if we're going to take it back, we got to take it back.
I mean, I might got to look at my list here of songs.
That's fair.
I don't even know. I mean, I get into Salt and Pepper.
I was thinking Salt and Pepper.
Who else? Let's see here. Of course, they're alphabetical by song. Hold on.
Oh, please.
I got this. I mean, that's good. There's another one on the tip of my tongue, and I can't think of it right now. I do have to say it's not 90s rap, but there's a lot of New Kids on the Block.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
That was my first concert, New Kids on the Block, when I was in, junior high.
Who did you go with?
My neighbor, her mom.
Very cool.
Yeah. So super fun. And then I probably didn't go to another concert for 15, 20 years.
But recently, didn't you go to New Kids on the Block again?
Mm-hmm.
See, I knew that.
Times since they've come around again.
Yeah.
2 or 3 times. Yeah, I've gone with a good friend of mine.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Nelly.
Oh, yeah.
New Kids on the Block. Boyz II Men.
Well, Paula Abdul was supposed to come one time and then she didn't come.
Oh, okay. Debbie Gibson or Tiffany?
Yeah, she was, maybe both of them actually.
Okay.
Because, yeah, maybe the last one we went to was like Mixtape was like the name of it. So yeah. It was a lot of those Debbie Gibson, Tiffany, kids. Like,
yeah.
Okay. childhood.
So listeners, as you can see, I told you she was a real one. And I'm going to sneak in a quick story about there was one time my hubby and I, we went to a Janet Jackson concert, right? We think we're just going there. We're just going to have our good old time with Miss Janet. So as Miss Janet is playing, there's these screens. I think there were like three screens, you know, just projecting the concert. So all of a sudden the screen projects the crowds. And I mean, there were like thousands upon thousands of people there. Okay. Just to put things into perspective. All of a sudden, I'm looking at the screen and it flashes on people, but then it flashes somewhere else. And then really quick, I'm like, I think I just saw Tony and Jenny. And I tap my husband and I say, I think, because he was looking away. And I said, I think Tony and Jenny are here at this Janet Jackson concert. And he was like, no. I said, I'm telling you, I think I saw them. But listeners, if you know me, you know I always think I know somebody. That's why people say, mind your business, Trina. But all of a sudden, I text Jenny and I'm like, dude, are you at the Janet Jackson concert? And she texts back right away. She's like, I'm here. All caps. She's like, I'm here. Are you here? And I'm like, I just saw you and Tony on the screen. So, yeah. So, I mean, you're always going to see somebody somewhere. And again, we just digress because, yeah.
That's what's fun.
But that's our relationship. We just digress and we come back and we do it all again.
Totally.
So as we go right back into the interview, that was like a commercial break.
Yeah.
We'll say that it was our commercial break.
There you go.
Okay. I was thinking earlier, you know, as you were first talking, I was thinking of your mom and I was thinking of my mom and I imagine them friends and sitting across from each other and having this conversation.
That's a really amazing thought.
Because they would have been friends.
For sure.
They would have been friends.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. As I like. sit in this moment and grateful for our friendship and
thank you for helping me see things about myself I didn't see. I always want to be better, do better in life.
You're changing the world.
Thank you.
You know,
so are you.
Okay, so I'm gonna switch this a little bit as I gather myself together. Another thing that you and I resonate on is our love for cheerleading. And you know, I was not going to forget this because I'm telling you. Okay. So another thing that I want to do, this sounds so bizarre, but it's not bizarre, but we're going to get a group of us who were cheerleaders. Our kids are going to be so mad, but let me tell you, kids, we're about to go viral. But I would love to pull a bunch of us who were cheerleaders.
There's plenty of us.
Right? And just do every now and then, get together and do some cheers. Okay, we don't have to do the jumps. I bet you can still do some backflips. Like, let's not pretend and splits. But I think it would be the coolest thing. We got to get our sweatsuits with our names on the back. But I think that would be the coolest thing. I mean, how much fun would we have?
It's funny. I picked up cheerleading because I used to be a gymnast growing up. And as an eighth grader, the gymnastics club in Rochester just closed. And I was done doing gymnastics. And I'm like, okay.
Chapter closed.
Yeah, exactly. And I was getting ready to go into high school. And I'm like, you know, actually, I mean, it was, I joke about it now, but it was devastating. That was my identity. Yeah. Just like I watch my own kids with, you know, their identity as a soccer player, as a hockey player. And I get that. I remember, I identified as being a gymnast growing up. And all of a sudden that chapter was closed. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'm too old to pick up sports and be good or competitive at the high school level. So I guess I'll be a cheerleader.
I guess.
and it was so funny because I still brought the competitive gymnast in me to cheerleading, which was not competitive when I started as a freshman in high school. And thankfully, I had a co-conspirator who also was a gymnast with me and my dearest friend growing up. And we both started cheerleading as freshmen. And I tell you, we turned into a competitive team and went into competitions, started winning competitions, qualified to nationals as juniors. And it's so funny. It's, we had a great squad.
That's
very
awesome.
Proud of it. However, I will say cheerleading taught me one of the most important aspects of leadership.
Mm.
And it's something I carry with me to this day.
So we're putting a call out to all former cheerleaders. Okay, we're looking for you to come out of retirement. If you are interested in getting together once every couple months, you know, we'll skip over the winter. But every couple of months, and we'll do like some cheers. Like that would be awesome. And just to rekindle that, you know, that cheerleader spirit.
Sparkle.
Yeah. Because we need, it was called the, what was it? What were these
called? No, you do it. And I'm like, they're not jazz hands.
Not the jazz hands. I can't remember, but if you all can remember, please let us know in the comments. But my friend, I have enjoyed.
Oh, likewise.
This conversation immensely.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a gift to me. So thank you.
I'm talking about these stories. Another story is my mother fell in and out of high school. She had 5 children at the age of, starting at 15. Mm-hmm. At 60, she went back to school and became a psychologist. Because of her story, they have it now. And when she was taking the classes, she would say, do I have to read this chapter? Because I'm a parent. I buried a mom. I buried the child. I've been homeless. So it was, okay, just write something about your experiences and you get credit for that classes. So it was her life skills that enabled her to be a successful psychologist. Look what God done for Sister Norma Jean at 60. Hmm. And she's always said, God, 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 faith, faith, faith.
I see it in their demeanor, and I've experienced it myself. But something about sitting with the trees and just watching the natural flow of the birds flying from one tree to the next, the little ants in the soil, the way that the leaves move, taps you into something ancient and innate and deeper. It's hard to put in words, but I know, Trina, you've had this experience before. Sitting with water is another example. I used to live in Hawaii, and being with the oceans reflects our movement of breath in such a beautiful way. It makes you breathe slower and calmer and deeper. So I've been a yoga teacher for about 25 years. Yoga's been a really big part of my life, not just the physical stretching and asana, but the deep philosophical and spiritual work that the ancient practice of yoga brings, some 5,000-year-old technology for the science of the mind and the science of self-realization and knowledge of self. Mm-hmm. The breath, the breath is the one thing that's constantly changing. So within yoga philosophy, we identify the physical body and all of nature. We call this prakriti, and that includes the thoughts in your mind, and it includes the movement of breath. So things that are coming and going, things that are constantly changing. And then we identify that within you that is the conscious awareness that it is observing all of the things that change. So the seasons, your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, your breath. And the idea with yoga practice is to live from that space of conscious awareness, to be the observer, to sit on a throne as a royal, goddess, and be the witness of life, unbound by situation, unbound by the weather patterns, unbound by the mental complexities. And something about sitting in front of the ocean, which you find a rhythm with your breath, it's such a deep meditation for me.
And we'll go get our bubble tea.
And that's another thing we connect on, because it wouldn't be right if we didn't have our bubble tea.
No, it would not be a tea crime. Boston Tea Party
2.0. Wait, what's your drink from Starbucks again?
I love a good cold brew. They have a vanilla sweet cream. I honestly have such a guilty pleasure for that. The shaken espresso, but yeah. Then the lemonade if I'm going to do tea. I'm not like a repeater. Like I have to get like different things all the time. So like some days I'm in the mood for like stronger coffee. Like I want, you know, my espresso. And then some That's days fair. I love me a good drip brew hot coffee. We do not leave any drinks I'm not a frozen drink girl. I'm not into those stuff like that. But
okay, that's not your jam.
To each their own, though.
That's true. So
yeah, yep.
Okay, we'll chat soon.
Okay, that sounds lovely.
Love you.
All right, love you. Bye.
As we wrap up season 4 of the Head Wrap Socialite Everybody, I'd like to extend a heartfelt thank you to every guest who shared their stories, knowledge, and passion with our audience. Your contributions this season have enriched this show and inspired countless viewers. I'm super excited to share with you in the upcoming week, season 5. With gratitude, love, and blessings, the Head Wrap Socialite.